Lu Carco is often described as an enormous snail-like creature with tentacle-like appendages covered in mucus.
I know it goes without saying, but if I can go my entire life whatever without being like partially or completely eaten alive, I'd call that a win.
Prepare yourself for Earthling Entertainment, the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture, with your host, Joe Wakefield and Ryan Lang.
I love it. I'm a fan of this. I'm here for it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Earthling Entertainment, with your hosts, Joe and Ryan.
That's right. I'm your host who fell to Earth 39 years ago, Joe Wakefield.
Well, welcome. Welcome to Earth, buddy. Where'd you come from?
I don't know. I guess a meteor. Like, I don't want to make it seem like it was angelic.
Okay.
You know, it was definitely kind of an alien panspermia thing. Like, it was Joe Goo, and then I attached to a jellyfish, and it formed this.
Okay, fair enough.
That's at least my theory.
All right, cool. Yeah, well, myself, I believe I am a Earthling.
Ah.
I believe I was born and raised here.
Well, great, because this show is entertainment for you, then.
I know, and all the fellow Earthlings at home. Hey, guys, welcome back. If you are a returning listener, thanks for tuning in. And if this is your first time, you may be wondering, what is it we do here, Joe?
Well, you know what? I will tell them. We are kind of a layer cake, a mix, if you will, between pop culture and paranormal.
Yeah.
So we start out with a thing called spooky stuff, and that's always cryptids, haunting, myth, legend, something like that. Then the next part is Earth Pop, which is Earth Pop culture. That's where we have celebrity interviews or just genre news, basically talking about all the fun stuff you guys care about in the pop culture realm. After that, we have Disclosure Discussion, which is all about aliens.
That's right.
Finally ending with Real World Weird, when something is strange, odd, but, you know, not paranormal and not really entertainment, even though it might be entertaining.
It might be funny.
That's where that goes, Real World Weird. And that is the layer cake, or as Shrek would say, onion.
That's right.
Because onions have layers.
We have layers.
We have layers.
That's right.
It's a very layered show. Welcome to Earthling Entertainment.
And that is pretty much how we do this show every week, new episodes every Thursday. And we are in full video now, so make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
That's right. And if you're just an audio person, make sure to download the episodes wherever you get your podcast.
That's right.
But we wanted to really start this show out right off the bat by saying, oh man, guys, this weekend, we got to go to the fourth annual Cryptids and Paranormal Conference. We had a nice little booth, and we had a spinny wheel and prizes. We had a lot of fun. Shout out to our friends at iHeart Horror. You guys are awesome.
Yep. And shout out to everybody who was there. So many names to mention.
Michael, Professor B.
Of course. No, yep. And you can find every vendor that was there online at the Paranormal Cryptids and Paranormal Productions website.
Yeah. But dude, tell them about it. How was this experience to you? Because you guys, we flew in there. We had an adventure.
Well, and it was three floors. It was incredible. And we were on the third floor, and we were really happy with where we got to be. We felt like we got to meet a lot of new people. We saw a lot of returning faces from last year.
That's true, which was really, really cool.
Really cool. I got to meet just seeing all the crazy stuff that people had come up with. It was really creative. There was like, it was almost like an arts and crafts show of like the paranormal.
Well, we were among the vendors, which was really nice because we had a sweet spot that was right with a window behind us, which means we had internet signal, which, you know, thank God, because our whole thing was we were having people come up. Like Ryan said, we're finally doing video. So we were telling people if they subscribe to the YouTube, they get to spin the prize wheel.
Yeah.
And that would have really not worked if we didn't have internet. We would have just been like, oh, well, spin the wheel and have free stuff, which is fine. But you know, it's nice to get the subscription.
And everyone was really supportive, really, really cool people. Heard a lot of great stories of eyewitnesses of the paranormal out there in New Jersey.
Apparently New Jersey is definitely a hotspot.
It definitely is. And more than just the New Jersey Devil, which we actually got to meet a brave man, Jason Kenzie.
That's right. His name. Yeah, the documentarian. He's done so many Bigfoot, like Searching Bigfoot.
Who literally was leaving on a trek, like a straight up trek to go find the Jersey Devil. And I couldn't help myself. I shout at the man. I'm like, well, you know, be careful out there. And he just turns around and gives us the classic, it's already too late for me. And I was just like, Well, that's famous last words. So he's dead now. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We're we got a project coming up with him, but we can't talk about that right now.
That's right. Yeah, we've got a few things going on. We're collabing. You know, we took the podcast on the road, and that was just a whole lot of fun. But every now and then, you run into a couple of hiccups on a road trip. Literally everywhere we went, the road was like blocked off.
And it was weird, yeah, because it didn't look like there was anyone working on anything. There was just a cop with a bunch of cones being like, nope, not that way.
Nope, bunch of green cones, specifically green. Yeah. And so we finally get to the hotel, right? And we get there and everything's beautiful. You know, everything's great.
We're tired. We just flew in. We you know, it's fine. We're not annoyed or anything, but we're ready to go to the room.
Ready to go. And so get our keys. Everything's normal. We're on the fourth floor. We go up to the fourth floor. We're all the way at the end of the hallway. We get down to the end of the hallway and the keys don't work.
It happens,
so
right?
So we turn around and we go back down, fourth floors, go up to the desk. Hi. No. Obviously, just a mistake. And, you know, he gives us a couple new cards. Yay. So we go up four floors. We go down that long hallway, get to the room, and the keys don't work. So
again, so at this point, we know something's wrong because the woman working there clearly isn't that bad at her job because that's her job. We're not like the first people she ever helped.
Exactly.
Clearly, she knows how to make a key work. So I had my suspicions.
So we go back down the four floors, go up to the counter. Hello. Still doesn't work. She's like, oh, I'm going to send a maintenance guy up. Probably just get you right in. We're like, you got it. We go up four floors, go down that long hallway, get all the way to the door, and we stand there for about 10 to 20 minutes.
Meanwhile, I'm getting really bad.
You know,
I'm being a little loud about to Ryan, not like loud, like disturbing loud, but just like, come on, jump, anger.
So this guy comes up and he's not the maintenance guy, but he does have this fancy little gadget and he puts it up to it and he goes, yep. That's broke. And we're like, you don't say. And so we go back down four floors, back up to the counter. Hi, we're back. And they finally give us keys. We finally get to the room. This one was on the third floor. We got to that one.
They finally gave us a new room.
And it was good. Yeah. Yes, yeah. New room. It worked. But at first, when Joe put his key up to it, it didn't work at first. I almost fell over. I almost died laughing.
Oh,
and then finally it clicked and opened up the room and it was lovely. But like everything was wonderful after that. And they gave us free breakfast for our inconvenience.
That's true. That's true.
That's very nice.
But a couple weird things is most of the people for us, which was at the fourth annual Cryptids and Paranormal Conference, were all on the North Tower. So when they moved us, they moved us to the South Tower. Well, there was another event going on, which just happened to be a young Catholic camp or Christian camp.
It was a ton of kids.
Yeah, there were a bunch of kids and it was definitely some Christian thing. So when we show up to our door, on the door, it had something like God bless, or like it had a weird little thing. And Ryan and I were just like, well, that's weird. Later at the actual event, we have I Heart Horror once again. Love you guys. And they're checking people into the event. And then the other people, the church group, is literally directly across from them with their long tables, checking people into the church event. And I know it didn't bother the I Heart Horror people, but I'm wondering, like, how does the church group feel about this? They're staring at a bunch of like,
just a bunch of freaks,
Bigfoot paranormal enthusiasts. You know what I mean? Which, let's be honest, a lot of those beliefs are not beliefs that the Christian community holds. So,
so let's face it. Yeah. We stuck out a little bit.
It was amazing.
I'm sure their adventure was, I'm sure they found it interesting.
Well, they were a bunch of kids, so they probably weren't offended. They probably thought it was cool. The second floor was just the paranormal people, a lot of the guests and other people. And then we were on the third floor with a lot of the vendors, which, like Ryan said, ended up being the best place for us.
It really did.
Yeah.
Like we felt like it was prime location because, my gosh, we never got to sit down.
No, it was fun.
Just constant traffic. It was we were blessed. You know, to have so many people come to our table. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it was really cool. It was funny because me and Ryan are fun and we're loud and we're, you know, like I'm sitting there like, I'm gonna dance. You should come over here and see why.
He did dance. He danced a lot.
I danced the whole time. And like telling people like, hey, you, what did I say? I was like, hey, you over there, would you like to hear about the greatest podcast ever created based on nothing but my own conjecture?
That's right. That's right. You said that to many people.
Yeah. It worked almost every time.
There was a table next to us where they did not show up, and the little sign said that they were a podcast as well. And we couldn't help but be like, man, they would have hated us.
I have to admit that I think they were scared. They were like, right. Earthling Entertainment's going to be there. Oh, no, we're not sitting next to them.
So what's the point, man? That's right.
I mean,
that's right. No, but for real, though, and they could have came and we would have we could have hung out and we could have talked about stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I never understood the people who sit at their table and they're like either on their phone or they're just quietly staring off waiting for people to come up and talk to them. I never got it. Like, I don't care if you're selling something or selling yourself. Ryan and I were always just like, come on over. Let me tell you, you want to spin a wheel? You want a free sticker? Hey, you kid. We gave away a lot of the coloring books to children.
Yeah.
We're both fathers and we're weak. Because that was the grand prize that and a lot of people won. We got 10 winners.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of winners, dude. No,
but
yeah.
Then we just gave some away to kids.
Yeah. No. And no, that it couldn't have worked out better, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there's just a couple fun things. Like, apparently there was some confusion, and some of the posters said it closed at 5, and some of them closed at 6. So a lot of the vendors start packing up at 5, and me and Ryan are like, nope, we're staying at this hotel. We're going to stay here. So we just watched everyone closed off and just kind of danced.
I think I put my Mandalorian helmet on.
Yeah.
I was just kind of having some fun.
It was good. It was good. We were with our neighbor next to us, which was Brooks Nook. Look her up if you want. She's got all kinds of spooky stuff. Yeah. If you're in the New Jersey area, she actually has a spot in a flea market, but you can get it online too.
She's got a ton of cool stuff, like retro toys, but she's also got like new toys, stuff that like maybe you'd find like at like Spencer Gifts or like other like horror-esque, you know, places that have horror stuff.
Yeah, and you know, just so you know, the retro toys are like an old Raggedy Ann, like Annabelle,
old Ouija boards.
Old Ouija boards. Parker Brothers Ouija board.
That's right.
Summon the devil with Parker Brothers.
I mean, that's how I always have fun.
I know. Oh man, but we just had such a good time. And mm-hmm. it's not our first year there, so like we know people and they're very welcoming. Chris, Greg, and Holly, I Heart Horror, love those guys. Like I mentioned, Michael O'Connor, Professor B, like everyone was just great. Professor B's son comes in on the opening night dinner dressed like the Jersey Devil. I mean, yep. A lot of fun.
There was a biker Bigfoot walking around.
That's true. He is the biker book Bigfoot.
That's right.
Look it up.
Yeah, he was cool. Father Evil.
Father
Evil. He was fully committed, that man, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's dressed, as you can imagine, as like, you know, a satanic priest and has makeup on and he walks around and he's just like, condemn you.
And he even has like the little music playing, like just like oh. Yeah, like church, like music playing as he's walking around. I appreciated the commitment. I really did.
He liked to come around our table because we had the spinny wheel.
Yeah.
And he's like, gambling is a sin.
Yes, yes.
Kept walking, yes.
No, yep.
Father Evil.
And that goes along with what you were saying earlier. Like, you're doing, you know, this is an especially fun niche event. So, like, anyone who's coming to this place, you can have some fun with them. Like, you know what I mean? Make your booth entertaining. Like make it like an event for everybody, and that's what we did, and we really appreciated everybody who came by and appreciated us, because we like to get silly.
We do.
Yeah.
And you know what, I think we nailed it. I mean, we're pretty strategic because we flew there, so literally everything in our table, everything came in like 3 small rolly bags.
Yep,
because we know how to pack.
That's true. You guys knew how to pack. You Tetris that stuff. Heck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the next event we got going on, which we'll talk about later, we had to make sure everything's official and stuff, but it's in Michigan, so luckily we could maybe either bring a little bit more or it would just be a little easier. We won't have to rent a car. That's nice.
That's true. And looking forward to next year.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know what, I can't help but feel a bit guilty. I know, it's like we went to a convention, we had a lot of fun, but you know what I didn't get to do?
What?
I didn't get to go to the movies.
No,
and
didn't.
And you know what happened?
What?
Masters of the Universe flopped, and I feel like it is my fault.
It's totally your fault, Joe.
I should have went. I decided to go to a stupid convention and promote our show and not go to the movies. And you know what? I feel guilty. Guys, do me a favor. You have to save Masters of the Universe. Go to your local theater and see that movie. If you're in Michigan, check it out at MJR.
Just call Jared Leto. Let him know you're on the way.
Poor Jared Leto.
Dude, poor Jared Leto. Everything he does, he just is. I don't even hate the man. I actually think he's very talented. It just seems like he's kind of cursed.
He is kind of cursed.
I don't know what it is.
Why don't we take 30 seconds and ponder that curse while we play this MJR ad?
Make the most of your movie-going experience by upgrading to an MJR Premier Plus Rewards membership today. Earn even more points toward free tickets and concession discounts. Plus, enjoy a free birthday reward, waived online booking fees, and a free ticket just for signing up. Head to mjrtheaters.com or any MGR Theaters box office to upgrade to a Premier Plus membership today.
I think I've got it.
Yeah?
I don't got it.
Ugh.
I think that's the point. Jared Leto is bad for no reason. He's not bad. It's just there's no reason for it.
I think it's funny because a lot of people don't like him. He's an Oscar winner. You know
he's
what I mean?
Weird.
He's a weird guy. And yeah. He's a method actor, and he's kind of a guy here. I don't know that as a fact.
Right.
But I hear he is not the best person to hang out with on set when he's in a character.
No, and
I'm trying to be really... After saying the word, I'm trying to be cool.
And I remember, there were stories about him on Suicide Squad. Not The Suicide... The Suicide Squad.
The first one.
Set. The first one.
Yeah.
With Will Smith. And evidently, he left... like a dead animal.
He sent Margot Robbie a dead rat.
I hear he gets into some crazy antics. And then I think one person made the mistake of, because he asked, oh, did you hear my band? And they were like, oh, I really don't care for it. Evidently, he chased this person down for the rest of the night, asking them, why? Why don't you like 30 Seconds to Mars? My band is amazing.
That's kind of awesome. Like, it's to have, like, I want an ego so big. I'm just like, what, you don't like me?
I could tell. Is it bad that I could kind of see you doing this? Wait a minute, why?
Yeah.
No, explain to me.
But that's more because I'm an obsessive personality and not like an over amount of confidence. Well, I'm just saying.
So maybe he just has, obsessive personality.
Yeah, maybe. You know what? I'm not even joking. I really actually do want to see the Masters of the Universe movie. It looks like a lot of fun to me. And I wasn't like a huge He-Man fan because I'm a little bit old.
Same.
A little bit young for the original He-Man. But I loved, I know it sounds weird, the Dolph Lundgren He-Man movie from the 80s. And then I liked this really weird, the He-Man no one even remembers, this really weird rebooted He-Man from the early 90s where he had like a long ponytail. And it lasted like one season and it was terrible. But apparently that was just the formative years for me because that's the one I liked.
That makes sense. Yeah. I remember seeing stuff of the cartoon. I think I had the sword.
You
like the sword toy? It lit up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it did. I didn't have that one.
But I don't think I ever knew what the heck He-Man was. Wasn't that one of those things where they made the toys first?
Yeah,
and then they made the cartoon.
Well, the original toy line, I think it started with a comic book. It had like a 5-issue comic book, and then like quickly after that, it turned into a TV show. But yeah, but I mean, back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, I mean, making a cartoon was just a toy commercial, essentially.
Right. Same with like Street Sharks. I think that was the thing. Like they made the toys and then they made the cartoon.
I love Street Sharks.
Dude, me too.
Street Sharks were amazing. And there was a weird thing in the 90s with anthropomorphic animal brothers. And it's all because of Ninja Turtles, right? Mm-hmm. But they had, Ninja Turtles. Then they have like biker mice from Mars.
Yeah, biker mice.
Street Sharks.
Battletoads. Hell yeah.
There was Extreme Dinosaurs. You remember that one?
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I saw it, but I remember it. Like I it's like a fever dream.
I mean, I had those toys. I remember it was like a yellow T-Rex and he was like half cyborg and had like a big gun. Very 90s. Everything
that's really
was extreme.
Sweet. That is extreme.
Yeah. Extreme.
I love it. Yes, sir.
Things aren't extreme anymore, Ryan.
No. Well, I mean, we could get into extreme spooky stuff.
I guess. Do we have any extreme spooky stuff today?
We do. How's about a French snail that eats you?
Finally!
With the shell as big as a house.
On this week's...
Spooky Stuff! Lou Carco.
That sounds like a name. Hey, what up, Lou?
Lou Carco! Yo!
Maybe, I don't know.
In the folklore of southwestern France, particularly in the region of Gascony, Lou Carco is a fearsome and grotesque mythical creature that blends characteristics of a giant serpent and a mollusk. This legendary beast is said to reside in caves and underground passages near the town of Hastings.
I mean, that makes sense, right? It's a snail.
Yeah. Slithering through tunnels and emerging to capture unsuspecting prey.
As one does.
The name Carco originates from the Occitan term for snail, akin to the Spanish caracol, reflecting the creature's molluscan traits while emphasizing its serpentine terror.
Oh.
Lou Carco is often described as an enormous snail-like creature with a slimy serpentine body that can extend great distances. It is believed to possess a massive spiraling shell the size of a house, similar to that of a snail, which it uses as both a home and as a protective refuge. The creature's tentacle-like appendages, covered in mucus, are said to be incredibly long, stretching for miles through subterranean tunnels.
That's really interesting. You know what's funny is I know it's a snail, but when I think of like the giant shell and like the extended head, you know what pops my head?
Huh.
The Neverending Story, the giant turtle.
Yeah, I was thinking that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that in my head, it's probably because at the beginning of that film, they actually do have a racing snail. And just because my childhood memory blends things together, it kind of like put them in a weird image. I don't know.
It kind of reminded me of a Pokemon too. It reminded me of the poison type. I believe it's he's a little spiral shelled guy. Oh, I can't remember his name. I'm going to bring it up later because I'll remember. I can't believe I can't remember.
I bet it's Poison-O.
It's something like that, right? Yeah, it's right. Probably. Yeah. So
the American translation is probably always like a little bit more on the nose than the Japanese one, I imagine.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's often silly. Like, you know, like, look at this Pokemon. It looks like a seal. What are we going to call it? Seal. But instead of spelt C-A-A, it's just two E's.
Seal.
Yeah. So. Lou Carco's most terrifying trait is its ability to capture humans and animals with these tentacles. The slimy appendages are said to ensnare victims, dragging them back to its lair to be devoured.
You said those like long tentacles are like go out miles.
Okay,
see, that is creepy, because can you imagine you're just like tunneling, you're in the cave or whatever, and there's just this tentacle that grabs you, pulls you into the deeper and deeper in the cave. You don't know what you're gonna see. You see a giant snail, I mean, I'm gonna be horrified, but it's not what I would have expected, right?
And like it catches you like what, like a few miles away. So this is gonna take a while.
Yeah.
So you're being dragged, and it's just like
it's like ow, ow. Ow. Ow.
Rock.
Ow.
Rock.
Ow.
Sharp rock.
Yeah. I mean, it is possible that you just killed along, like, while being dragged. I mean, I think dragging people by a horse and, like, Red
just
Dead
people
Redemption
watching.
I mean, I'm just saying, that'll kill you if it's long enough.
Just people watching you go by. Just like, hey, you got a knife?
Yeah. No one would do a thing. Everyone would lift up their phones. No one would do a thing.
Yeah, now, yeah.
You know, I'm serious, man. There was this guy who died like a few weeks ago from an escalator. Like his coat got caught in the escalator, and it wasn't Final Destination. He didn't get like pulled into the gears and turned into mush or anything like that, but it like choked him out. And he was sitting there struggling and can't breathe. And people were watching and taking video, and no one did a thing, and he died. He literally got choked out because not a single person even attempted to help.
Oh boy. There's a lot to unpack. There's so much to unpack there, guys. Do better. Let's all promise here to do better. We see something going down. Like if you see a person getting dragged by a Lou Carco, you know, bust out a pocket knife, maybe, you know, help him break the tentacle.
I don't know.
It's gonna take a while.
You know what else the image that comes to mind is? That plant from the original Jumanji with Robin Williams that like pulled you into the big yellow one.
And we covered that. That man eating plant that actually comes from like a real story of a cryptid.
Yeah, it's called the Yativo.
Yeah,
Yativo.
That was it. That was it.
I remember that one.
Well done.
Yeah, and I remember the name of the episode. It was Chlorophyll Me with Fear.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Always, always a good pun. Those come from Joe, guys.
Yeah, guys, if you don't mind an audio only episode, it was I don't know, man, like somewhere in the 80s, I think. But check that one out. Chlorophyll Me with Fear.
That's right. That's right. So. The Carco's lair is often depicted as a dark, damp cave filled with the remains of its prey. It was described as being both a serpent and a mollusk at the same time, taking characteristics from both. Its massive and long body carried an enormous shell upon its back, much like a snail shell, and it's believed to live in the underground caverns of southwest France. Its gaping mouth was surrounded by several long, hairy, and slime-covered tentacles that could extend for miles.
Okay, so the tentacles came out of its mouth?
Yeah.
So it's like a graboid.
Yeah, it's kind of bringing you back in.
Well, see, now I feel like Tremors was not nearly as original as I thought.
Yeah.
Something underground, got tentacles in the mouth, pulls you in, it's kind of like a serpent. I think Tremors ripped off this.
So graboids are French?
We figured it out, people.
We knew it.
Also, just as a side note, do you ever think that maybe this is why French cuisine often has snails? They're like, haha, we got you, you son of a
bitch. Payback. Yeah, every exactly. day.
Every single time, it's payback.
That's right, but, escargot, out of here.
You got my great-great-great-grandfather? Eat your little babies.
What?
I mean, people do it with veal. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Take that. Revenge is sweet, sir.
Exactly. I've never eaten a snail. I'm sure, like anything else, if it's prepared properly in a good dish, it would taste good. But it's just not something I really am in line to try.
I'm not. I'm a consistency kind of guy. The idea of slimy meat doesn't sound great.
But I feel like when you cook it, it would harden up, right? Like, I've had alligator, and it was kind of like rubbery chicken. That's kind of, for some reason, how I imagine a snail. And I've never eaten a snail. I don't know.
And I've heard too many horror stories of people getting, like, parasites from snails.
Really? I heard the same thing about possums. It's why I haven't picked up any roadkill.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You really need to stop doing that, Joe. Wait a minute. Is that what the sliders were? All right, we're all going to get sick. Anyways... So,
speaking of which, unrelated to anything, there was a poster in the 90s called Roadkill Cafe, and it was like a cafe menu. They sold it at like every drugstore, and it was just basically a menu with like a burger with a possum tail and all these like, you know, like flat cat and like awesome possum.
It had cool little puns. It was all you. Like, you love that. I have a very distinct memory of that poster. That's so funny. I haven't thought about it in years.
I'm gonna see if I could find it. Hey guys, if I found it, it's gonna pop up on the screen.
There right you now. Go.
And if I didn't find it,
let's
this just is a different image.
Of a possum.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just put up a random possum just for the love of it.
Saucy possum.
Saucy possums.
All right, moving on.
Moving on from saucy possums. So
why would we? But fair enough.
These appendages stretched out from the cave it inhabited for a long distance and laid upon the ground in its own viscous slime. They would ensnare and drag back to it anybody or anything within reach. It would then swallow the victim whole, alive and wriggling with its gigantic mouth.
I don't know. It's how I imagine it. I feel like everything needs to make a weird sound. So that's what that thing makes. Prove me wrong.
It's like, you're just like getting like, ah!
What a dumb sound.
like just one little.
Yeah, I mean, I know it goes without saying, but if I can go my entire life without being like partially or completely eaten alive, I'd call that a win.
And I feel like a snail is just, you're just going to like drown in its...
You'd suffocate, right?
Yeah, well, like slime.
I just feel like you'd be in, I don't know, its throat, I guess, and it would just, because it's all gooey, you're gonna just be suffocating.
It sounds awful.
Yeah,
I'll bet it stinks.
I couldn't find anything about its stench,
but I'll bet it stinks
a lot. You're probably right. What if it didn't stink though? What if part of like the lure, kind of like an angler fish with the light, was just like it smells great,
like cinnamon rolls.
Yo, jeez, could be worse. This is something, you know, glass half full. I'm dying, but
you die with false hopes. You think that you're gonna get some cinnamon rolls?
Yeah. Huh?
That son of a bitch. That's cruel. So
false problems.
According to legend, the Carco would extend its tentacles through secret underground tunnels that ran beneath the town of Hestingways.
Why would you live there?
I don't know.
If you're surrounding your town are a bunch of tentacles that could pull you into the caves to be eaten by a giant snail, move.
Not just caves. It could come out of wells and any crevice, ensnaring those who wandered too close.
Move!
The creature was nearly impossible to escape once it gets you, though, as its grasping appendages were both strong and covered in a sticky mucus that prevented victims from slipping away. The origins of the Lou Carco legend likely stem from the region's medieval traditions and local superstitions. Gascony, a region known for its forests, rivers, and caves, has long inspired stories of strange creatures lurking in the wilderness. The Carco is one such tale, symbolizing the hidden dangers of the natural world, particularly the dark and mysterious underground environments.
I mean, the caving is something we're not supposed to, like, it's kind of like being in the space or under the ocean. It's like, we weren't really built to survive there. So it's just a little bit more scary. Like, I'm sure you've seen the film The Descent.
Yes.
Or The Cave. Like,
yes.
I don't want to be trapped. And even real life stuff. Like, there's talks about, like, people just going caving and being, like, get lost and be, like, stuck upside down.
Dude, yes. Spelunkers are nuts.
No, I'm good. I don't want to die underground. I
they
mean,
literally like squeeze in to where it like you just can fit it. No.
Yeah, like here, I'm just gonna take off this this air pack and go underwater through this cave, and then I'll bring the air pack with me. It's like, no.
Thank God we never got that itch.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause there are people out there, they get it, because we look at it and we're like, I don't see how is the juice worth the squeeze there.
like,
but some people, that gets their jimmies.
I mean, okay, so I could kind of see Indiana Jones style going into like tombs and like going into like to find certain things.
That's
But just straight up a cave, unless I think there's like a Journey to the Center of the Earth kind of world, or like a mole people civilization, I have no reason to go into that cave. I'm good.
Yeah,
I don't need to explore it personally. I don't know.
Like I said, we don't have that itch. We, you know, we respect those who do. Please be careful.
I don't respect you.
Watch out for giant snails.
Okay, I respect you a little.
So local tales link the beast to the historical context of Hastings, a fortified town that hid its valuables underground prior to the Spanish invasions of the 16th century.
Oh, so they were probably just like, don't take our crap. There's a snail that'll eat you.
Well, countless treasure hunters who ventured into the caves in search of these riches are believed to have fallen victim to the carco. Yeah. Explaining the disappearance of the town's hidden wealth.
All right, well, maybe then they got the giant snail creature to guard it. Or they're straight up murdering anyone who goes in there and saying they were killed by a giant snail. Those are the three options I see.
It was a giant snail.
Yeah.
Dude, he got shot in the face. It was a snail.
Yes, it was a snail.
It was a snail.
Shh, don't ask questions. See, it looks like there was like a, I don't know, a piano wire around his neck. Nope, that was one of the tentacles.
Tell you what, them tentacles are really piano wire like. You didn't know that?
They can get thin at the end.
You didn't know that? Dummy. Classic 101 snail right there.
Classic.
You should have known that.
Oh, idiot.
So, as a staple of Gascon oral tradition, the Lou Carco reinforces community cohesion by symbolizing the dangers beyond safe confines, serving as an enduring cautionary figure that underscores the perils of curiosity unchecked by caution. I just thought that last line was really cool.
It's a really good line.
Right?
Yeah, it's a really good line.
So beware of the giant snail if you happen to be in a cave. Hopefully you're a few miles away so you can figure stuff out while it's dragging you back.
Yeah. Like, you're just sitting there on a piece of paper trying to, like, draw the map. All right, we made a left. Okay, I'm not going to get away. I'm just going to find my way back. It's fine.
We're
all good. Saw style. Cutting off your leg.
Like, oh, I tell you, it beats getting eaten.
You got to, yeah, but then you got to drag yourself out of a maze of a cave with a bloody stump.
And then, like, another slow tentacles coming after you. It's like, no!
Come on!
No! Just, like, the slowest chase ever. No!
Oh, man. You know what's funny is there was, I think it was Film Theory with MatPat when he did it. But he always said that, like, a T-Rex or any of these dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, because it was one of those, you know, Film Theories for Jurassic Park, that they wouldn't actually eat you because we're not enough calories. Like, we're not worth it. Like, the human body compared to a T-Rex would be like us eating a peanut instead of a steak. We'd be like, I'm good. I don't really need
that. That makes sense.
Yeah. So if this snail has a shell as big as a house, that means one of two things. It either wouldn't eat us, or like a anteater, it just needs to eat too many of us.
Yeah, and it'll just, and that's why it can just, that's how it's evolved. So it can just stretch out upon my, so it can grab anything alive on the way back.
I mean, and it's got a lot of those tentacles, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it could just be constantly eating like a bag of popcorn. Like, oh, yep, yep. There's a sheep. Oh, oh, there's a cow. Oh, oh, there's Terry. Oh, excellent.
Like, pretty much. Like, no, and like I said, to me, that's extra horrifying. Like, just the assured death from very slow means.
I mean, I don't want to suffocate, but I also don't want to be like burned in stomach acid. It's kind of not a good win no matter what. I remember the scene from Attack on Titan, which is an anime where giant mutated people are eating people. It's very kind of off-putting.
I've seen a clip of that. Yeah.
It's enjoyable at the same time, but
it's crazy.
The thing is, these monsters in that show don't actually have to eat people. they just kind of do, whether they're, I don't want to give anything away in the show or not, but somehow that made it scarier. Like, they're biting people's heads off and swallowing them, and they're getting all burnt in the stomach acid, and they don't even need it. They're like trees. They get sunlight and they're fine.
So they're just doing it for the fun of it.
Yeah. There's some things to unpack in that show.
No, there certainly is.
Anyways, giant snails.
Giant snails.
If you guys are into giant snails, you can check out episode 100 of Earthling Entertainment. We have a audio drama there called The Snail Mount Derby. And it is a futuristic story where about four different people
are racing. It's my favorite one.
They're racing on snails to determine who will be the next president of the world.
What was the whispered thing? It was like, snails.
Yeah.
What was it?
What was that? Shell Mount.
That was it.
Yeah, because it's a Shell Mount Derby.
Oh my God. Every time I died. Honestly, guys, no joke. All the Tattletales are great, but that one, it's my favorite.
Yeah, if you're into audio dramas, check
episode
out
100.
Episode 100.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's also the episode we had Lyle Blackburn, the cryptozoologist.
That's right, we did. Dude, that's a great episode.
It is. That's why I'm recommending it.
You should. Yes, everybody should see it.
All right.
So moving along to
Earth Pop pop culture.
That's right.
We got some good stuff for you on this week's
The Earth Pop Report, talking about everything to do with Earth pop culture.
Woo! Here we go.
Now for my favorite part of the show, which is Earth Pop. All right, so I gathered up a lot of fun, really good headlines, I think, this week. We got about 15, a little bit more than normal, because we have no celebrity guests this week. And there's so much happened. Oh my God, it's been like a week of news. But anyways, Ryan, take it away, man.
All right, guys, starting with number one, Final Fantasy VII Revelation has been officially announced as the conclusion to the Final Fantasy VII Remake Trilogy and is scheduled to arrive in spring 2027.
So yeah, this is kind of a big deal for anyone in the gaming community who likes Final Fantasy.
Which is a lot.
But Final Fantasy VII, they remade it. And the first one was called Remake. The second one was called, I don't know. What was the second one called? Revelation? Something. I don't know.
Remake.
But I thought this last one, because they kept doing R's, right? I thought this last one was going to be Resolution. Because I knew it would be the end one. So it's like, okay, fair enough. You came up with a name that was a little better than mine, but I thought Resolution would have been good.
Ravishing Rondation.
What?
Rendezvous.
Rendezvous?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really an end title, though.
I mean, why not?
I don't know. But Final Fantasy VII is one of the most beloved games in the Final Fantasy series.
It is, yes.
And Final Fantasy VII Remake and the Remake Trilogy, as they call it, has been hit or miss with a lot of people. I personally have enjoyed the ride, but I go into every remake, whether it's a movie or a video game, being like, it's going to be its own thing. If you are in love with the first one and, you know, you really are passionate about it and they're going to remake it, you probably won't like the remake. I've never met someone who's like really into a movie who was like, and you know what? When they remade it, even better.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I feel like, it's one of two people, right? It's like sometimes they can get a brand new player, right?
Sure.
And
that's what they're obviously trying to do.
Yeah. And that would be arguably me. I've never played any Final Fantasy game. I know a lot about it because I've just, a lot of my friends, I know you love it.
Well,
so,
I was going to say you're not even a JRPG person, but I guess you love Zelda. And what is that besides a JRPG, right? I mean, technically?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So forgive me,
a Japanese role-playing game.
Okay. Yeah. Specifically not that, but I love role-playing games. Of course, everybody's heard me talk about Knights of the Republic and we talked about Fable last week, so I mean, I do love RPGs, but I guess you're right. I can't, other than Pokemon, I can't think of like a Japanese, because technically Pokemon's an RPG.
I guess you're right.
Does
Pokemon count as a JRPG though? Because usually it's more Final Fantasy where it's like, I don't know. It's fine. Move on.
I'm not the official on that one for sure. I just had to ask what it meant.
Anyways, we have more Final Fantasy VII news. I assume this is just to promote the release of the final game in the trilogy, but Ryan, here, tell them number two.
Oh, this sounds fun. Number two, Street Fighter VI is adding Tifa Lockhart from Final Fantasy VII as part of its year 4 DLC lineup. That's always fun when a fighting game puts in somebody like, I know Homelander was in the last Mortal Kombat, stuff like that. Spawn was in Mortal Kombat. They put Darth Vader and Yoda into Soul Calibur, I think. Yeah, back in the day. And that was insanely fun. I loved that.
Well, I think it was Mortal Kombat versus DC. Mm-hmm. I bought that game and all the extras just to get the Ninja Turtles, just so I could play as the Ninja Turtles. So
exactly.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Oh, I get it. Totally. And funny thing, you know, did we talk about it that Ninja Turtles are now a part of Magic the Gathering?
We did. We had a whole story
that's
about
right,
it.
That's right. We did. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a pack the other day and I almost bought it just because I'm like, that's so cool.
You should have.
I don't collect magic, so I don't see the point other than I just wanted some Ninja Turtle cards.
Well, if there's Ninja Turtle news, I will tell everyone about it. For instance, for sure. I think last week, the Last Ronin novelization came out. So if you guys like the idea of the futuristic Last Ronin series, but you're not a comic book person, now I could watch it now or read it in novel form. And also they announced, well, they didn't announce, we heard more about the Last Ronin video game. So
really?
A lot of Ninja Turtle stuff.
Cause yeah, they canceled the movie. It was originally going to be a movie.
Yes. Paramount has done many things that I disapprove of. Continue
I know that.
Them.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. That's true. All right, guys. So moving right along here to number three, Playground Games Fable Reboot has received a release date, February 23rd. 2027.
Yeah, we recently mentioned how it was delayed. Well, now we got a release date. February isn't too bad, but
it's not too bad.
I expected it in the fall like everyone else out there, and boy, me and Ryan have been itching for a new Fable for a long time.
Because it's just, there's something about Albion, the humor. It's like a British humor, and you know, I grew up Monty Python, so that game was just a perfect realm, yeah. You know?
It was really good. And technically Lionhead Studios closed down and this is a different publisher, but everything I hear is they took the spirit. They knew the assignment and they did it well. Now, granted, I haven't played it myself, but everything I hear sounds good. So I'm excited.
I'm excited to see what they're going to have for us to destroy, because the first one didn't have it. But in two and three, you had the gargoyles, which would just talk smack. And you had to like shoot them and stuff. You had to shoot a ton of them to get like all the rewards and whatnot. And the next one, it was a bunch of gnomes.
Yeah. See,
and
this,
they were hilarious.
That guy was hilarious.
They were absolutely hilarious. So it was like, yeah, why don't you come over and have some tea? Then I'll have your mom.
That game was kind of interesting. You could like go to different towns and like have different relationships and families with different people, and they found out about each other. Did they? It was this whole thing. Yeah,
there was. And then you could make money, and yeah, you could like be crooked, and you could like raise the rent and everything like that, because you eventually owned. But that was the third one. They really went wild with like,
yeah,
by the end you're insanely filthy rich. Like it's like
I don't know. I really liked it. I remember that, like, you would spend half of your time. It's like an hour later. And what have you been doing? I chopped wood.
Mm-hmm.
Just one button on a rhythm.
I was I worked at the bar.
Yep.
You had to make a beer and it had to have just the right amount of head.
Yeah, not too much.
Not too much. Yeah, and then, yeah.
This is the important fantasy games that we're missing out these days, Ryan.
We were doing work on a game. Instead of working in real life to make actual money, we were making Albion Fable money.
But they do that now anyways.
And
they
working.
Have, there's a sim, dude, they have like a power wash simulator.
Right.
It's literally people like spray this deck clean. Like that's your, that's the video game. They just released this, the first trailer for Shark Dentist. And literally you're just a dentist for a shark. And if you F up, the shark will eat you.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I deserve it at that point. For yeah, one, you are a shark dentist. So
shark dentist.
You knew what you signed up for. So
I mean, out of all the dentistry, why shark dentist, sir?
They need, you know, they keep getting so many teeth. It's just printing money.
Oh, man. Well, hey, something that's not on our list, but just found out today, it's official. It's been rumored for a while, but it's official that we are getting an Ocarina of Time remake. Ryan,
that's
give
right.
me your thoughts.
It's exciting. Didn't see this one coming. It's coming this year. And we already knew that we have a Star Fox Switch 2 remake coming out. And now, like I said, we just got told, oh, by the way, A Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, you know, the best game of all time, is going to get a remake for the Switch 2. And it said 2026. And at first, I didn't believe it, but many sources have claimed that, yeah, this is true. So we are going to get that, and we got a cool new trailer. You guys can check it out. Nintendo just released it, and it's freaking epic. The details are incredible. If you remember N64, back in the day, we were like, oh my God.
This is the most amazing thing ever. He's in 3D.
Like 64, bro.
Look how hot that pixelated Zelda is.
That's right. Oh, dude, talk the great fairy.
Or no, you know what? It was the fish chick from the Blue Temple.
That's right. Yeah. Princess Zora.
Yes, Princess Zora was my sixth grade crush. That pixelated blue fish woman.
Well,
what can I say? Did it for me.
She literally hit on you and basically forced you into a marriage. She was like, oh, you got that? By the way, that's a wedding ring now. So now we're married. See ya.
And apparently I was into it.
Yeah, we all were. We all were. It started, you know, and now a few of us are, you know, aquatic furries. But, you know.
Aquatic furries. Is there something for that?
I'm sure there
is. There's got to be a fetish for fish people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Producer, look up if there's a fetish for fish people. This is important.
This is very important.
Anyways, in the meantime.
Well, they say dolphins are quite intelligent, so.
Yeah, you know what's really weird though? Dolphins are the only other creature that actually has sex for pleasure. Mm-hmm. And there's been cases of dolphins like getting real humpy.
Yeah, yeah. I went to Discovery Cove and in my experience, it was quite a gentleman. Bought me a drink.
Fair enough.
You know, took me out hors d'oeuvres.
Right on, right on.
I'm saying.
I think the my only experience with the dolphin, which was not sexual, was at SeaWorld where I was feeding them the little fish, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I was really, really into it because it's like you get to feed a dolphin fish, you got to touch a dolphin. And then like later in life, after all these great experiences have been in my memory of just like, that was awesome. You find out like how horrible and torturous SeaWorld was to animals. And it just makes you feel bad because I'm like, I gave that little fish to the dolphin, and I petted its head, and it could have been communicating, get me out of here!
Mista! Mista!
Hold on. Okay.
Scalies?
Scalies, guys.
I have never heard of scalies,
fish
guys.
Furries are scalies.
And I made that up. I didn't even know there was aquatic furries. They're called scalies, y'all.
Dude, you know what? You didn't really make it up because if there's something, anything, even an inanimate object,
there's porn.
There's someone out there who wants to have sex with it.
There is porn about it. No matter what it is, if it exists, is porn.
I always thought about that in like the world, to bring it up, the world of Pokemon. There would be someone out there who, you imagine going to the hospital for some burns and for electricity? Why? See that Pikachu? Man tried to take it to bed.
Homeboy did a Pikachu.
Yeah.
It's like my Pokeballs.
Hey, everybody. I'm Andy.
And I'm John. We're the hosts of Zombie Strains, the podcast where we watch all of the zombie movies in chronological order.
It has been a wild ride so far, discovering where and when all our favorite zombie tropes originated. Things like the first cannibal zombies.
Bowery at Midnight, 1942.
The first rage zombie.
Teenage zombies, 1959.
And the first homicidal zombie.
Dr. Blood's Coffin, 1961.
If you love zombie films as much as we do, join us on Zombie Strains.
Find Zombie Strains on your podcast app of choice.
I wanted to say that I kind of grouped these in kind of like the first couple were video games, and then I think it was like movies, TV. So this isn't just going to be video games today. Just say it. But the next one is.
Until Dawn 2 has been revealed for PlayStation 5 with a new ghost hunting storyline set for 2027.
You know, I don't want to say I'm excited about all of these, but I made the list. So yeah, pretty much everything on the
I was going to say, you're pretty biased. That's good.
But Until Dawn was a great game. And I'm not talking about the remake they just did, but the original, I think, came out like 2015. It was fantastic. And I don't need to sell you guys on a game that's been out for so long, but it was kind of like a choose your own adventure horror movie where you get to make decisions and it affects the story. After you've played it a few times, you realize not every choice affects it as much as you were led to believe.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
But it was pretty good, man. And even the movie, which had nothing to do with the game, was also pretty good.
Okay. No, yeah. And I haven't played this one because, you know, I was never a PlayStation guy. I literally never owned a PlayStation. But I know the name. So for the fact that I know the name, it's got to be great.
Like, I mean, right? At least well-known enough, right?
Exactly.
When
yeah.
I had some buddies in Los Angeles who played that game so much that they got the idea to do something for the Fringe Festival, which is theater. And they decided to make they called it it wasn't the Hunger Games. It was the video games. It was called the video games, but it was a Hunger Games with video game characters. And the audience participation actually affected who won in the match. So it was different every show. But they did a stage show where each actor knew their lines, whether or not they, you know, lived or died. And it was a different tournament every time you went. And it was just, I think it won a few awards at the Fringe Festival. It was just a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You know, speaking of video games, I'm just saying.
All right. So I guess we have another video game.
There was a lot of video game news. I don't know what to tell you.
Saw Genesis has been announced, a multiplayer horror game set a century before Jigsaw's Reign of Terror.
Yeah. So I guess it's going to be like in World War One or World War Two.
Huh.
Which makes sense if you think about the crazy things people do in war, that whether or not it was Jigsaw himself, but like maybe his father, I don't know. How old was that character supposed to be in the Saw movies? Because I know the actor, Toby Bell, is like in his 80s, but that's still not old enough to be like in World War One. So I'm not sure the tenuous connection there.
Well, as we all know, all you have to do is put on a backwards hat and that de-ages you by like 40 years. That's all you have to do. That's what they did in the Saw. They literally had like a throwback
scene. You're wearing a backwards hat and you don't look negative too.
Thank you. Thank you. That's okay. I'm cool with that. But no, that's literally what they did in Saw. They had to do like a throwback scene, like a back scene, and they were like, they just put a backwards hat on him. They did. They just like made him look like more casual. And they were like, there you go. I mean, younger.
Maybe they threw some color in his hair or something.
It wasn't
apparent to you.
No. It was that meme with, what was it, Steve Buscemi? Like, hello, fellow kids.
Yeah, exactly.
It really, really was. It was straight up that. It's just an old Jigsaw with a backwards hat.
Well, fair enough. I don't know. The game seems fine. I'm kind of a little bored of the asymmetrical games where it was just kind of, you're a character who survives. They're like rounds, like Until Dawn was like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game was like that, but I did like that one. The Friday the 13th game was like that. And this kind of sounds like another version of that. So I'm sure it'll be fun. Horror games need to come up with something new, though, because I feel like we're all just doing the same thing over and over.
Because they're kind of fleeting, right? Because it's just online play, and eventually it stops being popular, so you're not going to have as much online people.
It's not just that, but you buy a full game, right?
Right.
And the game, and you are right, but also they eventually stop supporting a game like that. Like, yeah. It's online. So then you have a game 4 years later that you paid for that's just not a game anymore. I can still, not that I use discs very often, but I can still grab, like, I have a couple here and put them in my system, and whether or not they're taken off the store or not, you know, they still work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's different.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, we need a little bit more out of our horror video games, something that can actually last the test of time, like actually make a new Resident Evil, kind of, right? Like,
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I was thinking it'd be fun to go back to levels and actually have like a Jason Voorhees style, because I don't know if you remember, but some of those original games you played as the bad guy. So I have Jason Voorhees,
yeah.
But have a straight up level like Crash Bandicoot, where he goes through, he's got to find the teenager at each level and whack him and then find an exit and then just like have like 8 levels and make it more fun. I don't know.
He has like a, like counselors are banging, like sensory. It's like, oh, people are banging. Must go kill.
Missed opportunity for the last Friday the 13th game, I will say.
You know what I'm
saying?
You
did have kind of a sixth sense, but there was no one banging.
Because it felt like, because that's the rule, right? That's the joke with Scream, right? Like the moment you lose
can't
your virginity,
drugs,
you're dead.
You can't do drugs. You can't have sex.
Yep. That's it.
I guess alcohol usually counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was funny because then they started subverting that, right? Like they had the stoner in Cabin in the Woods be like one of the people who survived to the end.
That's true. He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. No, that was a great movie. I love Cabin in the Woods.
I think we're done with video games, though. What's our next? Is it movie news?
I believe it is. Going to Tomb Raider, Legacy of Atlantis.
No, that's a video game again.
Oh, it's been delayed. And it will now launch on February 12th, 2027. So two video games to look forward to next February.
All right. Well, I have nothing to say about Tomb Raider. Cool.
Me either. Never, you know, I played the original. I would snap her neck all the time. You know, I would just jump
off.
It
sounds so violent.
I wouldn't get very far. I would be in the mansion and I would just jump off and snap her neck and be like, yay. Well, it was funny.
It was funny because it's just a female Indiana Jones kind of idea at the beginning. Yeah. But the Top Cow did a comic series and I loved it when I was a kid. It came out in like the early 2000s, like 99 to like 2003 or 4 or 5 or something like that. But there was overall 50 issues. And I had a couple back in the day, but it was about a year or two ago, like right after COVID broke. And long story short, I collected them all, and I just I took a lot of time to get this whole series and I was so happy. And I'm like, I'm going to read them all. And I got through like 6 issues and then it's in that box under the TV that's never been moved.
Remember
I collect things.
Do you remember the video game Perfect Dark?
I do.
Yeah. I don't know why. That just popped into my head with all the video games we've been talking about. That game was great. The alien's name was Elvis. That's like all I remember. And it was basically the same exact engine as 007 GoldenEye. Which, you know.
I have nothing to add. It was a good game.
So that brings us to Paramount Skydance has announced the formation of Paramount Game Studio, consolidating its gaming operations under a single banner.
I don't like Paramount right now, but that makes sense. I mean, Warner Brothers had Warner Brothers games. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, that's fine. Do your thing. Nothing to say.
All right, Paramountageous. So that brings us to Danny Boyle says 28 years later, part 3 appears to be moving forward despite concerns about the franchise's future.
Yeah, everyone was really excited about 28 years later, and it didn't go over as well as they had hoped.
Second one I heard did really good.
Well, the second one was really good, but not as many people saw it simply because a lot of people were disappointed in the 28 years later. But 28 years later, The Bone Temple, fantastic film. But that film ended with a cliffhanger, which kind of showed Cillian Murphy, the dude from freaking Oppenheimer himself. But he was in the original 28 Days Later. And it was kind of like a tease because he hasn't been seen since that first movie. So they ended the last movie, which technically would be number 4. It's 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, 28 Years Later, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. The next one, I assume, will be 28 Years Later. Blah, 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 blah. But look, that's the big thing. They promised that Cillian Murphy would be back in the next one. So them actually moving forward is very good because otherwise it would just be one of those teases that never get paid off.
I feel like eventually they could do 28 generations later. And then we could see like literally like 300 years, like 300 years be like
28 centuries later.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we could see like a weird future after that.
I'd love it.
That would be kind of cool.
I always thought it would be fun to have a post-apocalyptic kind of story, right? And it took place after the zombie apocalypse, but so far after the zombie apocalypse that you have ruins of cities and things like that, kind of like Battlefield Earth style. But not only that, all the zombies eventually rotted away.
Yes.
So now zombies are almost like Game of Thrones style, or almost kind of like a myth of something that happened like 100 or 1,000 years ago. And you could always just kind of bring a zombie in every time you need to, because like one was in an airtight chamber, one was under a rock, one was this, one was that, but you use them very sparingly in the story because it's not a zombie story. It's a survival post-apocalypse. Think Fallout.
It becomes something so much more.
Exactly. I don't have a story in mind, but that was a premise and a world that I'm going to build upon at something. Maybe it'll be a comic book. Maybe it'll be something. I don't know. It's so not developed. It's really just an idea of like a futuristic kind of thing. And so I'm with you. 28 centuries later, I would see that, man.
Like, right?
I don't think that would be the film that they're going to make, considering Cillian Murphy is going to be back, like I mentioned. And unless they decide to time travel, that would be hard. But hey, whatever they bring us, I'm very excited to see it. So yeah.
At this point, why not? Time travel, do it. Indie horror sensation Obsession has become the first film this century made for under $1 million to surpass $200 million at the worldwide box office.
Yeah, and nothing really more to say about that. You guys have to know what this movie is by now, and if you haven't, you're not interested in seeing it, but it's doing really well. Obsession is a film where it's one wish willow, where it's seems like a branch of a willow tree that when they break it, they get one wish. A guy wants to get out of the friend zone. He does so, and then the girl gets obsession. And it's crazy fun, and just, it's a blast. I don't want to give anything away, but you guys should like it. If you haven't seen it,
I am excited to see it. No, I want to. Just didn't get a chance to hit the movie theater.
Well, it was between that and Back Doors like a week or two ago, and I ended up seeing Back Doors first.
Back Rooms.
Back Room. See, Back Doors.
Back Doors is a lot funnier.
Dude, you know how they have porn parodies of things? That would be the porn parody of Back Rooms. It'd be Back Doors.
People be banging in hazmat suits. You know, that's what's gonna be happening.
Be like, they made a copy of us. Good. Double team.
Sweet. I hope back this goes doors. On forever and ever and ever, and every door just opens to a new back door.
Oh. Anyways, go Obsession.
Yeah. Go Obsession. That's incredible. No, yeah, that is actually insane. So that brings us to Ridley Scott is reportedly developing a new adaptation of Treasure Island with Hugh Jackman attached to play Long John Silver.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. So Hugh Jackman played a pirate before. He played, I think, Blackbeard in Pan, which was, it didn't do very well, but it came out, I don't know, 2011, 2012.
Okay.
And so that's the image I have of Hugh Jackman as a pirate. Yeah, you could be it. You could do it. Long John Silver, I'm with you. Yeah. Posing as a cook. Turns out you're a pirate. Hawkins, all that stuff. Black Spot. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jackman. I'm a fan.
I mean, you'll never surpass the ultimate version of Treasure Island, which is clearly Muppets.
I was about to say
something about Muppets in the 90s, guys. Muppet Treasure Island and A Muppet Christmas Carol are the best versions of those stories anywhere. I don't care if you're a literature person, better than the original. Where was Gonzo in the original?
I just felt so bad for the boy who was like the squire, right? Like the young kid who was friends with Gonzo and stuff in the movie, because like I guess his voice hadn't really developed. So they just decided, like, no, we're going to just have you sing with the softest, weirdest, most uncomfortable falsetto we can get out of you. So, like, everybody's like, yeah, we're all singing. Then it's, and then it's just like, oh my God. Like, you know, that kid looks back. He's like, I hate that movie. Like, you know, dude, I would hate myself if that was me. I know that's mean. He was young. I'm sure it was like, you know, that's just like the best he could do. They had him sing. It was great, but
right on. It's
quite uncomfortable for me.
Fair. Like, I wanted to be a child actor, man. When I was like in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, that was before I knew about the horrors that happens to children actors.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I wanted to be on like Nickelodeon Magazine. Like, I was all about it. I wanted to be a member of all that and all that stuff. So I
Nickelodeon Magazine, please.
I know. So I'm thinking about it and I'm like, all of them probably have embarrassing stuff from when they were a kid they don't like. I remember I asked, what was his name? Elijah Wood once, if he even remembered doing North. Because North was a movie he did with Rob Reiner, and he was pretty young at that time. And I'm just like, all these movies you did, and now you were like, you know, years ago. How do you, like, do you even remember? Is that just like a fever dream? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Yeah, to answer the question, he's half.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure he's like, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, he was really young.
But it's weird because when you do a project, after a while, the memories of making the project start getting replaced with the actual finished product.
I know what you mean.
Like the things that you, like I rewatch things that we made and slowly but surely that becomes the memory rather than, yeah.
I feel like it's the same with making music. Like there'll be times that like one of my old songs from my band will like get stuck in my head, but then I'll realize I don't remember the lyrics and I wrote it like it, but it was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I've sold some scripts that if they ever get made, I'm going to be like,
I wrote that. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Anyways, let's move on.
Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey has unveiled an IMAX camera shaped collectible popcorn bucket.
Now this was a choice. So we'll put a picture of it on screen. But like a lot of times movies have the popcorn buckets be something to do with the movie. Gladiator 2 had the Colosseum, you know, like there's some fun stuff.
They had
out
the there. AT-AT for Mandalorian and Grogu.
Sure, sure, sure. This is Christopher Nolan. And I guess with all the Cyclopses and the Sirens and mythical creatures in the Odyssey, he's like, no, I'm a filmmaker, the camera. And yeah, it's just a straight up IMAX camera. That's a popcorn bucket.
Hear me out.
I'm not sure if I like it or hate it.
Hear me out. Okay. I can see this is me obviously a little bit going on a limb here.
Okay.
Maybe it's just trying to inspire younger kids to go out and film, to pick up a camera, to, you know, become the next gen.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, who knows what's coming next? You know what I mean? Like,
oh God.
You know?
Everything that's coming just keeps getting scarier. All right.
That's what I'm saying. So who knows? Maybe it's just like a little message of inspiration from Christopher Nolan to the new generation. Make films.
You hear that, new generation? Make them.
Make them.
Moving on.
We will be there supporting them and we'll talk about them right here.
Yeah.
Like true. This. Netflix has announced Ghostbusters Night Shift, a new animated Ghostbusters series premiering in 2027. Yeah, next year is going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, they talked about this for a while, pretty much ever since Frozen Empire came out, when people are like, oh, that didn't do as well as you wanted, or is there going to be another Ghostbuster movie? The news kept being like, well, we got an animated show in the works. Oh, they got the new Ghostbuster logo. Check it out. I'm excited.
Not as good as the real Ghostbusters, I'm sure. That show was amazing.
The real Ghostbusters was good, but I really liked the sequel series. Once again, I liked weird versions of things from the 90s. They had Extreme Ghostbusters.
Dude.
Extreme Ghostbusters was a canonical, like, next chapter in the real Ghostbusters series. They brought back Egon. Anyways, they brought back Egon from that original Ghostbusters series, and he, like, pulled together a team of college kids, and you had, like, it was so, like, it was Burger King Kids Club. It really was. There was, like,
amazing.
There was, like, the goth chick. Then there was, like, the Latino guy. Then there was, like,
the dude in the wheelchair.
Yeah, there was a dude in a wheelchair. They really did have a dude in a wheelchair. I'm not lying.
That's amazing. Yeah, His name was Wheels. I'm not even kidding. That was literally his name. Burger King Club. Okay, yes.
Because I was like, I don't think that guy's name was Wheels. But no, fair
straight up. Straight up.
Yeah, you know, side note, the guy in the wheelchair was actually played by the same guy who played Max Goof in the Goofy movie. Yeah.
Well.
And that guy also played the voice of Salem the Cat in Hocus Pocus. The guy did some good stuff. It's good stuff. I don't remember where I was going with that. Continue. Move on. Ghostbusters. Check out the new series on Netflix. Why not?
See, notice me. Sorry. Amazon MGM has paused development of its planned Stargate revival series. Gate is not open.
Yeah, this kind of bums me out.
I can tell. I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, it's like Star Trek has been around for 50 years, and they keep having series. You know, Star Wars has a bunch of stuff. Well, Stargate was the same thing. It was another universe. They've had several shows. They've had novels. They've had movies. And it all ties together in, like, one big universe. And if you're a fan of it, like, there's a lot to sink your teeth into. And I think everyone who is a fan of Stargate has been missing it, because it's been gone for almost 15, 20 years now. I mean, I think 2010 was when Stargate SG-1 had its final season. Stargate Atlantis only lasted 2 or 3 years after that. And then Stargate Universe was the final series that it did and only lasted 2 seasons. That was cool, because at the time, Battlestar Galactica was their biggest hit. So they're like, we need to make a Stargate that's dark and brooding. And they did, and it was really good. But apparently not enough people thought so. And sci-fi shows are expensive, so if you don't get the ratings, yeah, you get canceled. Well, I guess Amazon decided that that this wasn't worth it. Now, whatever they were developing, they didn't think it was good enough. They didn't think it could sell it. They didn't think it was, they thought it'd be too expensive. Whatever the reason is, they're not moving forward. And the reason why this is a bummer is they're the ones that own the property. So if they're not going to do it, no one's doing it.
So step aside, Stargate. Amazon MGM is developing a live-action adaptation of the classic animated series Gem and the Holograms.
Which doesn't make any sense, because they made a movie that flopped terribly hard. Plus, that cartoon in the 80s, how many people? I mean, okay, so we were 90s kids. I'm about to be 40. So that means people in their 50s are going to be like, Gem and the Holograms.
Well,
I've been waiting for this.
It's about time
that we've been waiting.
Like, yeah, step aside, you gate of stars or whatever you are. We need Gem and the Holograms.
Anyways, Gem and the Holograms is going to be dead on arrival. And here's some other people who are dead.
That's right. In memoriam. This week, we remember Buffy the Vampire Slayer star Anthony Head, best known for Rupert Giles, and acclaimed graphic novelist and filmmaker Mary Jane Satrapi, creator of Persepolis, both of whom passed away this week. We salute you.
Yeah, we do. Anthony Head, he also starred in Repo, the Genetic Opera, which I know wasn't your favorites, but I really love that movie. It has a feel for sure.
There's no hate. No hate. Just wasn't my thing.
I think he was also the a-hole husband from Ted Lasso. Like, he was married to the woman who owned the team. Used to be his team, but then he screwed around and they got a divorce and then she got the team. That was like the whole first season thing. Anyways, love that actor. He was awesome. Rest in peace, man. I'll remember you. Of course, as Giles.
Oh, for sure. But guys, that was this week's pop culture Earth Pop section. And we would like to remind you guys to download the episode wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. And we do have full video again. So if you would like, just subscribe to the YouTube channel. New episodes every Thursday.
And with that, guys, if you like what you're seeing today, make sure to hit like on that, thumbs up button.
That's right.
Yeah.
Helps us out.
It's true. And I like to be liked.
We do. And also, you know what we like? We love UFOs. We love
aliens.
Yeah, extraterrestrials. So, without further to do,
disclosure discussion. It's about aliens and stuff.
The day Jimmy Carter cried. According to the rumor, often discussed in UFO literature and by figures like researcher Richard Dolan and Congressman Tim Burchett, President Carter was deeply affected and brought to tears by a top secret briefing regarding the government's files on extraterrestrial life. The story suggests that what he was told so completely shattered his worldview as he, a deeply religious man, that he sank his head into his hands and wept. The anecdote was popularized
That's so sad. Like, I don't.
It's intense.
Who he was aside, because I'm just saying like to break someone so completely is rough.
And for him to just know that without no shadow of a doubt that what he was told was true. He just broke down. There was no question.
Well, I assume they had some proof.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's the president. I don't know if they still brief the president on everything, but I mean, he definitely was briefed.
I get into a bit of that here in just a bit. Sure. So the anecdote was popularized by UFO historian Richard Dolan in his book, UFOs and the National Security State. According to Dolan, a former presidential aide claimed that in June 1977, he walked into the Oval Office after Carter had received a classified briefing on UFOs. The aide alleged that Carter was sobbing with his head in his hands, deeply shaken by what he had learned. Because Carter was a deeply religious man and a UFO witness himself, having reported seeing a strange glowing light in the sky over Leary, Georgia in 1969, rumors speculate heavily on what might have upset him. Proponents to the story theorized that the briefing included the somber truth that the origins of humanity and religion are not organic or divine, but rather designed by a non-human intelligence, as well as the human race is potentially being farmed, observed, or manipulated as an experiment.
I mean, to be honest, that is exactly where we speculate on almost every episode.
Exactly.
It really is. Because it seems like, clearly, we're not in the know. And if the government knows, why don't we know? Well, hey, you guys are sheep, but we won't kill you if you keep everybody in line. That kind of feels a little bit what's going on. There's a, just going a small tangent. There's an episode of Doctor Who where basically there was a religious group and they found out the truth. And every time someone found out the truth, they got depressed and basically, offed themselves.
Damn.
So yeah, and it the whole big thing was like, what is this truth? What is the truth? And in that show, the truth was their world wasn't real and they were just a computer simulation created by an alien race to try to figure out how to take over humanity. So everyone in that version of Earth was just the simulation. So they find out their simulations and they're just like, oh, well, I'm not real. I doesn't matter. Nothing's real.
Well, anyways, remember, guys, nothing's real.
So Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy
apparently
Carter.
Was a little upset finding out he wasn't real.
Carter himself downplayed the mystery in an off-the-record conversation years later with an NPR journalist. When asked if there was a major hidden truth the public should know, Carter reportedly chuckled and said, no. But remember, a UFO is simply something we haven't identified.
You know what he said? No, there's nothing that you should know. It'll break you. So, you know, you shouldn't know.
No, and at
not
that,
to say it's not real.
And at that point, he's already been just beaten down by the system, I'm sure. You know. So, former NASA researcher Ed Harris claimed, yes, this is a quote, yes, the incident of Jimmy Carter crying after being briefed about classified information regarding UFOs is largely believed to be true by the serious researchers on the subject. As a forewarning, The following information is very unsettling, and we'll explain why Carter never kept his promise of revealing classified UFO information to the public. According to the story that was corroborated by more than one witness, U.S. presidents
are, two witnesses.
That's right. Are only given a cursory overview of the subject. Apparently, the CIA runs the program, only provide information to the president on a need-to-know basis, and do not consider presidential curiosity as sufficient need-to-know. This was implemented after Kennedy, and all presidents after him have been given only summary briefings. Some presidents, for unknown reasons, were given more than others. Quote, President Carter is a deeply religious man who had also witnessed a UFO with six other people. Everyone thought that he would be the one to finally release UFO info to the public. But as the story goes, he was repeatedly stonewalled. Eventually,
I mean, was he, though? Because like I said, just like that Doctor Who episode, like if the truth was so like, I don't know, like spirit breaking, maybe it was a choice. Maybe it's like, I don't agree with the idea that the public can't handle the truth. I've never agreed with that.
Me too.
But when you see someone get so thoroughly shattered, I could see the fear, because the problem is there are a lot of people out there who have such strong beliefs that if there was irrefutable proof, would either go crazy, deny it, but in any case, they would act out.
It
wouldn't be a good thing. Yeah.
No, and it makes sense, because like, think about the pressure. So he's a deeply religious man. He just had something broke to him, which is insane, right? And he there's an enormous pressure. He, you know, at the time, of course, you know, I'm president. Like, is it actually bad for me to say this? Like, would I ruin people's lives by
well, that's the
them,
idea,
yeah.
Right? Like, would society break down? Once again, I don't think it would, but that's the fear.
So I understand his fear, but I agree with you. I think people can take it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, if we are in the heart of disclosure, it is why it's a little trickle that they just keep doing, because eventually it's going to be so normalized. People are like, oh yeah, aliens, yeah, we know they're real, but there's never a sensational thing because we've just slowly given you information over the course of 20, 30 years, you know? Even in Paul, that comedy movie, the alien said, we've been feeding you guys images in my head, so none of you freak out if you ever see me.
That was actually a pretty decent Seth Rogen. I could kind of hear it in the voice. It was pretty good. But yeah, no, it is, and it makes you wonder. So yeah, we got like, you know, Steven Spielberg's movie coming out. So yeah,
I'm going to see leaking. Next week, man.
Yeah.
So my big thing, I'm going to talk a lot about Disclosure Day next week. So
I know I got to see it so that we can both talk.
Yeah, no, see, I'm telling you right now, I will speak spoilers next week. So you have to see it this weekend.
I will do my best, guys.
All right.
All right. So
cut to next episode. How much you want to bet Ryan's just going to have to leave the room?
I might have to. So back to Jimmy Carter, the day he cried. Eventually, the CIA had the talk with him. And
all right, so what?
Okay,
a man
not that.
Loves a
not
bull
that,
man.
Joe. This is not one of our
all right,
Bigfoot
Jimmy.
Exotic novels.
It's Bigfoot erotica.
That's right. And afterward,
don't disparage.
It was reported that he sunk his head into his hand and not only began to deeply sob, but was visibly disturbed for weeks afterward. Here's the quote. He was told that the major religions, including Christianity, were programs created by extraterrestrials to prevent us from destroying ourselves while they ran their experiments on us.
That's kind of ironic, because a lot of religion is causing wars, not solving them.
And that they made us.
Yeah, I believe that.
At this moment, it became clear to Carter that such information could cause tremendous economic and social upheaval. And there it rests. And that's, I had heard this story. I couldn't find any article about it because it's from that guy's book. So there was not a whole lot. So I did a lot of diving to put this together for you guys. I hope you guys liked it. I love this story because to me, it just proves further that there is something that's happening, and just show us the alien.
I don't know, man. The whole aliens creating us just, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, evolution, we still call it the theory of evolution, but that aside, evolution is, it's got a little gap of like when we go from Neanderthal to like standing up monkey people, you know, to humans.
To literally, we can't exist anywhere in the environment without a coat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like we don't really belong on Earth.
I don't know about all that. I'm just simply saying the idea that the aliens put their DNA with the monkey people to make us modern humans is something I've always subscribed to, personally.
Same.
But you're talking about something a little different. So Ryan is referring to us not being fit for this planet. And that comes from the idea that we started out at Mars. A few fun things with that is when you are in space, apparently our circadian rhythms or whatever they call it, your sleep cycles, jump a little bit longer, not to an Earth day, but to a Mars day. Also, why do we get skin cancer? Well, maybe because we're not from here. We're from Mars and we're too close to the sun. There's a lot of these theories.
I subscribe honestly to all of them. Because it's
so
just,
we were created by aliens, but also we were created by aliens on Mars, which would be why there's pyramids on Mars.
Yeah,
maybe that's where they started. Maybe that's why they made up the religions, because we didn't have them on the first planet. We screwed it all up. Humans screwed it all up.
Kind of makes sense, guys. Kind of makes sense.
Well, that's speculation. Speculation is fun on all this. That's why I loved the convention this weekend, man. There's so many people with wild ideas, and like some of them are really far-fetched, and then others are like, maybe. And let's connect the dots.
Let's plug the email. If you guys have a story, do you have an idea, something you want us to discuss, something you want to tell us about, please email us at earthlingentertainmentpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Especially if you have something weird, because we like the weird.
You're weird.
You're weird. This next segment is weird.
It is.
Real world weird.
A Florida thrift store with a mystery.
Ooh.
A Florida thrift store got a donation it definitely wasn't expecting last month. An actual human skull. Here you go.
Yeah, right. I don't need this. I think there's a rule that like you can't traffic in human remains, right? So it's like,
why
I think
it
was like Storage Wars or something, but they found like a medical skeleton and they had to like go through all these weird channels because, you know, it's a skeleton.
That's BS. Whoever he was using, they're done with it. Yeah, I'm not using the skull no more.
Yeah.
So the bizarre discovery happened at Jericho Ministries Thrift Store in Brooksville, Florida,
It was a church on top of it?
Yes.
All right, that was on purpose. Sorry, continue.
Where staff sorting through the donated items found what appeared to be a novelty skull. Unfortunately, it turned out to be a real skull.
Who figured that out?
Okay. Yep. That skull right there.
I buried a lot of people.
Jack, how do you know that?
Don't worry about it.
According to the Hernando County Sheriff's Office, the skull was dropped off with other donated items sometime around May 16th. Detectives believe the person who donated it may have honestly thought it was just a decorative Halloween prop and may not have realized it was an authentic human skull.
Or it was a really smart serial killer who's like, I'm just going to slowly give away the bodies across the country. I'm just give away, like this one has a hand. This one has a femur. This one has a skull.
That was a donation. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You can use it as an ashtray.
What was it, Adam Sandler? You can put your weed in there.
You put your weed in there.
What movie was that from?
It was originally an SNL sketch, and originally it was Rob Schneider who did the "You can put your weed in there." And then Adam Sandler did it in a movie.
I assume it was a Rob Schneider movie to kind of like balance it out. I just remember Adam Sandler in a cameo with really long dreads telling people that they can
and
keep hiding.
His voice was kind of like this. Yeah, you can put your weed in there. Yeah, I can't remember the movie. My girlfriend's going to kill me because she just told me about this, too. We were just talking about it, believe it or not. That's so funny. So, authorities are now trying to identify and speak with the donor to learn where the remains came from and how they ended up in the donation pile.
Yeah, we got some questions.
At this point, investigators have not suggested any criminal activity is involved yet. As strange as it sounds, this isn't the first time a Florida thrift store... Okay, it's not that strange. That a Florida thrift store has stumbled across human remains.
Of course. Of course. Nowhere else but Florida.
Why does that not surprise me at all?
Exactly. Guys, I don't know what it is about your state, but like you got some shenanigans going on in Florida.
And Florida's messed up. What can we say?
It's weird things in Disney World. You know?
That's right.
That's fine.
So in 2023, an anthropologist browsing a Fort Myers area antique store noticed a real human skull sitting amongst Halloween decorations.
So this is the second time it's happened?
Multiple heads ending up at stores in Florida. Investigators later determined that skull was roughly 75 years old and showed no signs of foul play. So if you're planning a trip to your local thrift store, keep an eye on the Halloween aisle. You might find a bargain or a mystery that belongs in a forensic lab.
I don't know. I kind of want to go to Florida and go to resale shops and just try to find human remains.
Where do you keep the skulls?
Yeah, it's like a whole documentary about like just trying to find human remains.
Hey, man. Guys, welcome back to Skull Entertainment as we try to find skulls in thrift stores. Hey.
You know, I know all of you out there are laughing, you know, right? Like, how could this happen? But sometimes you could find strange things in strange places. Isn't that right, Ryan?
I believe that's correct, Joe. Kind of like soccer in a volcano.
Huh?
Most towns have a local soccer field. One village in Mexico has one at the bottom of an extinct volcano.
Until they do a game and then the volcano erupts mid-game and we have Dante's Peak 2. Even peakier. Oh my God. Them screaming goal is what sets off the door of the volcano.
That's what I'm saying.
This is genius, Ryan.
Ole, 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 ole. So known, this is cool, as the Field of the Gods. The unique pitch sits inside of the crater of the Teoka volcano near Mexico City. Every Sunday, local teams descend into the crater to play matches surrounded by the steep walls of the ancient volcano.
I mean, that's really cool. I mean, you talk about a historical like place to play, but like, yeah, we hang out in a volcano. Mm. That just sounds like a fun brag.
Pow! Pow! The league consists of 10 family-based teams, with some players representing the same family for generations. The field wasn't built there because of some ancient prophecy or forgotten ritual. It was simply the flattest land available in the mountainous area. Residents maintain...
I mean, that's fair, right?
We're just like, well...
It's very practical
that a volcano?
Reason, guys.
It's really flat. It's really nice. Look, the ball doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really play soccer on a hill.
No, it doesn't work out well. No. Man. Not unless the team you're against their goal is at the bottom.
The hill.
It's like, okay, let's do it. We're cool.
Talk about home field advantage, which like, is like
up,
the
up,
last
up,
line.
Up. You're playing on that side. We already agreed. Game on. So residents maintain the unusual stadium themselves and have turned it into a beloved community tradition. While professional soccer clubs spend millions building state-of-the-art arenas, this league may have one of the most spectacular venues on Earth, a football field hidden inside a volcano. Talk about some, like Joe said, home field advantage.
It's actually, you know, it'd be cool if it was such a steep walls, but a small enough flat area that literally it made its own stadium. So like you could put chairs on all the walls around it.
Yeah.
It's like a natural field. Like that's not the case. The crater of this volcano is quite big, but still.
No, honestly, that's pretty sweet. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, I feel like, you know, when it comes to soccer or football, as your call is it, it's just one of those sports that I feel like as living in the United States, we kind of don't really get enough of the hype.
Well, it's getting a lot better. I mean, the World Cup is getting big enough in this country that we don't. True, though, when we were kids, never heard anyone talk about soccer.
No, and my knees are busted, so like soccer was always an absolute no-go. I kick my knee, pops out, I fall down, and we lose.
My kid plays soccer. You know, we're in Michigan, so there's winters, and it's just nice to get rid of your kid's energy. You got to get them into sports and other things like that. Soccer isn't just an awesome game. It's the most inexpensive game you could sign your kid up for. Could you
imagine?
It's
a ball.
I feel bad for the hockey parents.
Dude.
The ones who have to buy all the pads.
You're not wrong.
Like, yeah.
Dude, the skates, keeping them sharp. You got to keep upkeep on them. Everything like that. No, you're totally right. Like, and at least I guess with, like, I don't know. In soccer, it's like, at least there's not as much injury, I don't think.
I mean, people get injured, but it, you know.
But it's always really funny. Because literally, like, when people, like, it'll be like,
no, they
someone
get, like, cleats to the shin. That's not funny.
But I swear to God, they're usually quite babies about it. Like, the whole joke about soccer is, like, you'd walk by and, like, barely tap my shoulder, and I'd go, and I would fall to the ground and, like, writhe in pain. And, like, they'd have, like, I kid you not, it's a real thing.
I know it's a real joke. Yes.
No, it's a real thing. I've seen it. It happens all the time. I don't know what it is about soccer, but that's just what they do. They're just like, don't touch my hand.
I don't know, man. Soccer's full of some badass fans, though. There was there's this film that I really, really liked back in the day that Elijah Wood was in, and Charlie Hunnam, maybe? It was called Green Street Hooligans.
I did like that movie.
That was about soccer hooligans. Strange thing about that movie, they made 3 of them.
I didn't know.
Yeah, they made 2 straight-to-video sequels. I think the third one, characters from the first movie who were in the final battle were in jail, and it's like them doing a soccer match in prison.
That's interesting.
I mean, where do you go at the end of that movie?
One of my best soccer stories I've got, when we were in high school, we had a foreign exchange student from Italy.
Okay.
And he would talk about, he was hilarious. He was so funny. And he was just like, so as you guys call soccer, we have football.
Put stank on it every time. Like,
the Germans come into town and, you know, they're all hoo-doo-hoo-doo-doo. This is him doing it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and so they get on the soccer field and he does that move. and then we're just laughing. He's like, so we lose the game. There is riots in the streets. We're like, okay. Yeah, yeah. We win. There's riots in the streets. Yeah, we're just like dying laughing. Like, dude, listening to his stories were great. But yeah, dude, there's just some, like, soccer, football is a huge deal.
Everywhere in the world. I think it's because it is so accessible. Like you said,
it's a ball.
So, you know, you can make your goals out of anything. So anywhere around the world, like, you can play the game. It's, I don't know. Very, very accessible is all I'm saying.
No, and, but no. But to see one at the bottom of a hopefully formerly live volcano would be pretty cool.
It would be.
Pretty weird, but cool.
And with that, guys, I think we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you for, like, listening. Thank you guys so much. Fans like you are the reason why we do it. And it's nice to know that there are people out there who are just enjoying the show. We met someone at the convention we just went to, and they went out of the way of being like, hey, we I actually listen to you guys a lot, and I love this episode. And it's just, we love hearing that. It's been great.
Like, every single listener, you guys mean so much to us. Yeah. Her walking up being like, I know those voices. I was like, like me.
It was like the first time someone recognized me in public and was like, hey, you said on the show you always have a sticker on you. Do you have a sticker?
You best believe Joe's got a sticker.
I always literally have stickers in my pocket.
There's one. There's the proof. You guys seen it here, folks. But oh my gosh. So like Joe said, it's an end of another episode. This is episode 131.
That's right.
Dude.
And I got nothing else. Do you?
No, I just want to tell everybody, thank you one more time. We love you, and greetings, Earthlings. Share this podcast with a loved one, with a coworker. Spread the word.
That's right. We're here every Thursday with a new episode. And from everyone here at Earthling Entertainment,
see ya. Goodbye.
Greetings, future foundlings. I am Quentin.
And I'm Emily, and we are the hosts of the Missing Role Player Found Actual Play podcast. We offer intense roleplay, fully edited, immersive audio that will place you alongside us in our grand adventures.
Like in SAO, The Antithesis of Darkness, our series where if you die in the game, you die in real life.
That's right, we kill our players.
It's a humble beginnings to high fantasy isekai adventure where average people become legendary heroes.
But if you're more interested in post-apocalyptic science fantasy drama where humanity has been thrust back into the Middle Ages, then help us search for relics of bygone civilizations.
Because we can't find them.
In the Gate Chronicles.
Together, our cast and crew, we are Missing Role Player Found, an immersive, narrative-driven, actual play podcast with a catalog of different shows and more on the way. That's Missing ROLL Player Found. So pull up a chair and join us on a grand adventure.